Grant, as always, kept his head and said, in essence, I really don't think that would send the right message to the American people that we're going to pull away from a siege at Richmond to defend our capital. That will send the wrong message. It'll look like we're panicking. I'll send some troops. Don't worry about it, is in essence what Grant said. And Lincoln calmed down. But I think Lincoln's first reaction indicates how important he thought the political and psychological ramifications of Early's appearance might be. Remember when this is, it's in July. The Northern people are very discouraged already. They're discouraged enough that Richmond hasn't fallen and that Atlanta hasn't fallen. But now to have a rebel army closer to their capital than any other rebel army had been in the entire war sent a terrible message to the Northern home front. And that message is, the war is not going well. Lincoln and Grant, both disgusted by this turn of events, decided that something needed to be done, and Grant especially did. He decided to deal with Jubal Early's threat in a definitive fashion, and he selected Philip H. Sheridan to build up a major army centered at Harper's Ferry, which would move against Early, crush him, and then move on to lay waste to the Shenandoah Valley. This would be part of the strategy of exhaustion. Sheridan was a cocky, short, he's about 5'5", stocky Irishman with an enormous head and an ego to match. He'd been a West Pointer, had been held back a year in West Point for fighting. A very good hater. He loved to hate people and things. He thrived on controversy. Two of his better-known quotations, and they're both very close, if not literally accurate, are, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." And if I owned hell in Texas, I'd rent out Texas and live in hell. Those are two of his famous quotations. Some people who aren't fond of Sheridan have suggested that his body should be disinterred from Arlington National Cemetery and buried somewhere in Texas so he could be in hell in Texas at the same time. At any rate, he was a veteran of several battles in the West and, of course, had come east with Grant and commanded the Union cavalry in the Army of the Potomac. He's an aggressive, confident soldier and one who would be a great Union hero at the end of the war. Now he has an army, and Grant's orders were, quote, "Give the enemy no rest. Do all the damage to railroads and crops you can. Carry off stock of all descriptions and Negroes so as to prevent further planting. If the war is to last another year," said Grant, "we want the Shenandoah Valley to remain a barren waste." Here was the strategy of exhaustion in its purest form, and Sheridan implemented it with a vengeance. He avoided contact with Early in August under orders from Stanton. The North couldn't sustain another reverse, and so they told him to be careful. But once he got going, once his army was ready to go, he went brilliantly. He built an army of nearly 50,000 men, and he advanced against Early's 14,000 in third week of September, and trounced Early in the Battle of Third Winchester on September 19th. 3 days later, he routed Early again at Fisher's Hill. Early retreated far up the valley, while Sheridan put barns and crops and other non-residential buildings in a part of the Shenandoah Valley as far up as Harrisonburg, and in the Luray Valley as well, put those things to the torch. Slaughtered livestock and made the valley such a wasteland that, as he bragged, a crow will have to carry its own rations to cross the area. A final overwhelming Union victory on October 19th at Cedar Creek virtually ended serious military operations in the Shenandoah Valley for the rest of the war. These three battles together, Third Winchester, Fisher's Hill, and Cedar Creek, were costly, far costlier than anything that happened during Jackson's Valley campaign. The fighting in 64 dwarfed that of 62. There were about 15,000 Union casualties, 10,000 Confederate. The Valley was never again a major granary for the Confederacy. Sheridan had won really decisive victories. He got the effusive thanks from Abraham Lincoln, and this campaign was the final element in guaranteeing Republican victory in the November elections. This absolutely sealed those Republican successes. Northern morale lifts even higher. Confederate morale sinks lower. This is a very important operation, ranks with the more important operations of the war. All right, well, let's leave Sheridan now, triumphant in the valley. Grant and Lee still sitting in Petersburg. Next time, we'll continue again with our examination of military events in the last year of the war. We'll return to the Western Theater to discuss John Bell Hood's 1864 Tennessee campaign and William Tecumseh Sherman's march to the sea and advance into the Carolinas.